There have been many first ladies in American history, but never has there been one so important in making news as Eleanor. Political, social, rights of labor, equality for Negroes, economic opportunities for youth, and the problems of the United Nations were some of the speeches she made. At the White House, Mrs. Roosevelt continually received a tremendous amount of mail. Her belief was, ordinary people would rather express their feelings to a first lady than write direct to the president. She began to write a daily newspaper column, which was syndicated to hundreds of newspapers throughout the nation. She was the author of When You Go to Vote, Bases of Democracy, India and the Awakening East, and several others.
If I had dropped everything I was doing and just either lived in New York quietly or here quietly, I could have dropped out of the public eye and reached a point in a few years where nobody would have recognized me anywhere. But that seemed to me an interesting thing to do. So I had work that I was doing, and it interested me to go on with it. And I had felt all along that if I did do that, I would become a burden to my children, because they would all feel, oh, my poor mother, I must go and see her. And there's one thing I've never wanted to be, is a burden to my children. And so I just went to work to fill my life as much as possible. And I succeeded rather perhaps better than I really intended. The result has been that the children occasionally say they wish I were less busy, but at least they don't feel that I'm any burden.
Eleanor gave an interview to a newspaper columnist who later said, Mrs. Roosevelt cannot be called beautiful or even pretty. Her voice is too high-pitched to be pleasant. She is very tall and may make some men feel inadequate. But she is a human being who feels deeply for others. Because she suffers when others suffer, because she gives of herself completely, she is truly the international lady, and the world will learn to love her. America was faced with the greatest economic depression of all time. Eleanor began to travel throughout the country, making speeches everywhere, explaining the new ideas, asking support for the various programs of economic and social reform. When Mrs. Roosevelt spoke, the people listened. One newspaper headlined, Eleanor to sleep in the White House tonight. Mrs. Roosevelt's speeches and the sincerity in her voice soon reached the hearts of the American people. She traveled by car without guards, visited the coal miners in West Virginia, spoke to them, square danced with them. Her main concern was helping the people of the United States understand the New Deal. Her speeches received both praise and criticism. 67% of the American people coincided wholeheartedly with her work, the new programs and ideas. Eleanor was once asked by women reporters at the White House just what the United States and the Soviet Union would do about conquered Germany. She replied, "We must accustom ourselves to remember we are one of three nations with a responsibility of waging war. And once there is a United Nations organization, countries once occupied have a right to express their opinions too. We will have to get over the habit of saying what we as a single nation will do. When we say we on international questions in the future, we will mean all the people who have an interest in the question. A United Nations organization is for the very purpose of making it possible that all the world's opinion will have a clearing place. It simply will supply every nation with a free expression of the people. Until then, our state and war departments know more than we do and carry the responsibility. The matter should be fully in their hands." From 1941 to 1942, Mrs. Roosevelt was the assistant director in the Office of Civilian Defense. And in 1945, she had the honor of being appointed a U.S. representative in the United Nations General Assembly.
peace in the world must be based on an acceptance of human rights for all people.
1945 was also a tragic year for Eleanor, the people of the United States, and the world. It was the death of her husband, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Harry Truman, then vice president, succeeded as president. When Winston Churchill learned of his death, he said, "I felt as if I had been struck a physical blow." Churchill informed the king's secretary, who informed the king. He also sent a note to Mrs. Roosevelt, which read, "I feel so deeply for you all. As for me, I have lost a dear and cherished friendship, which was forged in the fire of war. I trust you may find consolation in the glory of his name and the magnitude of his work." In October of 1946, Eleanor received the first annual Franklin Delano Roosevelt Brotherhood Award. During that same year, she was chairman of the Commission on Human Rights in the United Nations Economic and Social Council. From 1949 to 1952, she was the representative from the 4th to the 7th United Nations General Assembly. She received the Four Freedoms Award, the Prince Carl Medal representing Sweden, the highest honor award of the National Society for Crippled Children, and the Irving Geist Foundation Award in 1950. Mrs. Roosevelt traveled extensively. She was seen at the border between Hong Kong and China, attended a press conference in Tokyo in 1953, and that same year shopped in New York with Queen Frederica of Greece. Her travels took her to the Soviet Union, where she was seen standing in line waiting to visit the mausoleum where Stalin and Lenin lie in state in Moscow's Red Square. And in 1957, she was seen visiting a day nursery in Tashkent, Uzbekistan, in the Soviet Union. Even after she resigned as a UN delegate, she still lectured everywhere, both here and abroad, explaining the New Deal.
"You do not live by bread alone, but you must have bread as a basis. Otherwise, it's very hard to think of the spiritual things and the other things that make up life as far as we are concerned. And I think that it's important to know all this because it's in the United Nations that we can really do a great deal, not only to strengthen the United Nations, but to make our leadership count. But it's only by understanding and knowledge that we can really show the people of the world that we understand what their situation is and that we are ready to do what is necessary to strengthen the United Nations, which is the best machinery that we have to help us give the peoples of the world, through the specialized agencies, some of the things that we hope eventually will bring a peaceful world, because the peoples of the world will have hope."
Nikita Khrushchev, then Premier of the Soviet Union, Queen Juliana of the Netherlands, Haile Selassie, and numerous movie personalities were a few of the distinguished guests that visited Mrs. Roosevelt. Just before her last illness, she explained,
"This life always seems to me to be a continuing process of education and development. What we are preparing for, none of us can be sure, but that we must do our best while we are here and develop all our capacities is absolutely certain. Just what form the future life takes does not really matter to me. I'm willing to leave that in the hands of God."
Eleanor Roosevelt died at the age of 78, November 7th, in 1962, 6:15 in the evening. President Kennedy called her one of the great ladies in the history of this country. Adlai Stevenson remarked, "I have lost more than a beloved friend. I have lost an inspiration. She would rather light a candle than curse the darkness, and her glow has warmed the world."